Our story is about the period in the land of Israel when the Romans began ruling over Israel. Now, we have to realize that the Roman rule over Israel was gradual. Meaning initially there was a war between two brothers, who would take the throne in the Herodian dynasty. And then one of the brothers called in the Roman Empire to help him ensure that he gets the throne. And that we made a pact with them they kept their end of the deal for the first 100 years until they finally decided they're not keeping their end of the deal, and that ultimately we brought them into the land of Israel and we brought the destruction upon ourselves. Yes?
There was a Hasmonean dynasty.
Yeah.
And they said Herodian.
Yeah. Herod was from the Hasmonean dynasty. Right.
He was an Idumean that married a...
Right. So they call it the Hasmonean dynasty in a more general way, but really it's...
So it was actually one of Herod's descendants? It wasn't yes. one of the actual Hasmoneans?
Correct. Meaning a lot of the secular works will include one in the other. We have on tradition that the Hasmonean dynasty ended with Herod. Meaning even though in some secular works they'll call it the Hasmonean dynasty till the destruction of the temple, our tradition is that it's not really so. That's why I purposely said Herodian, because... we see rampant bloodshed from Herod onward. His descendants, who were Edomites, they really they were murdering whole cities. The second they thought someone would rebel against them, you had thousands of Jews killed.
Was it the general Ptolemy that came in that we invited in? Was that?
I don't know who was the general at that time. That I don't know.
I thought it was the actual testimonies themselves, not like Herod that were feuding and invited.
I don't think so. So. When the Romans started ruling over the land of Israel, initially they didn't want to show their enmity overtly. They wanted to make believe like they were our friends and everything was okay. So they always tried to cushion their decrees with a logical reason why it's all for our good. And they made a decree that we're not allowed to bring bikurim, the first fruits, to the temple. And they also made a decree that we're not allowed to bring wood up to the temple. Now, you need wood to light the fire on the altar. And their real intent was to try and bring us to our knees and really sever our ties with the temple. Their real intent was to, ultimately, they wanted the service of the temple to cease. But they knew they couldn't come out and say that, so they figured, let's go in a roundabout way and start doing things that will sever the ties the Jews have with the temple. Now, the bikurim, our first fruits, when the Jews used to bring that to the temple, that was maybe the most joyful procession. Jews used to come and they used to have a special ox that they used to coat its horns in silver, and they used to bring a special basket with the fruits, and the whole city would join them, and people would have these mass journeys, like a whole caravan of people from a city would go together to bring up their fruits to the temple. And this was like a very joyous procession, which really would reflect the connection the Jews had to the land of Israel and to the temple in Israel. The whole idea of Bikurim is we're showing our Hakarat HaTov. We're saying to God, thank you for giving me these fruits. I recognize that my stay in the land of Israel is connected to the temple. It's a holy land, and you gave me these fruits. So the Romans witnessed how the Jews have this procession of bringing the bikurim and bringing the wood, and they're so happy and they're so connected to the temple, they figured that should be the place where we should hit. That's a connecting point between the Jews and the temple. Let's make a decree in which we prohibit them from bringing their first fruits up to the temple. Now, obviously they said, we have an economical reason why we're making this decree. No government comes out and says, we hate Jews, so we will forbid Jews from bringing bikurim. No, there's always a good reason. They said, if all the Jews bring their first fruits up to Jerusalem, that will cause the prices to rise throughout the land of Israel. And if they bring wood up to the temple, so then the price of wood throughout the country is going to rise. So for economic concern, for the general well-being, we're prohibiting the bringing of bikurim and wood. Now, if you think about it, that's a pretty stupid claim, but that doesn't matter. It's never stopped anyone before. One temple's worth of fruits and wood that's not exactly what's going to shift the prices throughout the country, and it's been done for hundreds of years beforehand, and the prices were just fine. But that doesn't matter, you know. If you can just package it nicely, you could sell almost any legislation. Now, in order to ensure that the Jews would obey this decree, they set up guards along the path that led up to Jerusalem to ensure that people who wanted to ascend to Jerusalem would be prohibited. Now, would be stopped. There were Jews who were not about to forgo this great mitzvah. And so what they decided was that they were going to outwit the Romans. And what they did was they took baskets with their first fruits, and they covered the baskets on top. They put a whole bunch of dry figs. And ordinarily, first fruits, you know, if you bring your first fruits, you're bringing the lush fruits, you're not bringing dry fruits. So if the Romans see a basket of dry fruits, that's obviously not the first fruits. You know, the first fruits you bring Shavuos time when everything's lush and ripe. So they covered it on top. They brought baskets with dried figs on top, but on the bottom were all their first fruits. And also they took on their shoulder, they took these huge poles which were used to bash the dry figs. They used to make cakes of dry figs. This was a standard food. That was something that they could hold on to throughout the winter months when they didn't have crops. So they took these big poles on their shoulders, and the idea was these poles were really the pieces of wood that they wanted to donate for the altar, so there would be wood for fire in the temple. When they came to the guards, so the guards asked them, "Where are you headed?" So they said, "What do you mean? We're headed just yonder over there. We just have to bash our figs into cakes." You know, they see the poles, looks innocent. They see the figs, it looks innocent. The Romans let them pass. When they passed the Roman guard, and they were already headed up towards Jerusalem, they took off the dry figs, and they adorned their baskets, and they continued the procession the way the tradition had it, that every city they stopped in would rejoice with them and wish them well. And in doing so, it became famous throughout the land of Israel. Look, Jews have already outwitted the Romans. We can continue bringing Bikurim. And there was one family who did this more than the rest, and they called that family Bnei Gonvei Eli. They're the people who stole with the Eli. Eli is this pole that was used to bash the dry figs. They were able to steal, to outwit the Romans with the Eli, with the pole that they said were using to bash the figs. When the time came that they wanted to bring wood up to the temple, so they took good pieces of wood, and they made those woods, they made them into ladders. And when they went up to the temple, the Romans asked them, "Where are you going with the ladders?" And they said, "We're going just yonder to get pigeons from, you know, there are pigeon holes. You have to climb the ladder to take down the pigeons." So the Romans look at them. They're carrying ladders. Okay, that makes sense. They let them get by. And once they passed the Romans, so they took apart the ladders. And again, with great fanfare, they ascended to Jerusalem. And this was a way of showing everyone, we are going to outwit the Romans, and we're not going to let the Romans break our spirit. And they became famous as the family who also was able to ascend with the ladders to outwit the Romans. So they were called Salmai Hantutzati, the ladders that were broken, because they took ladders that they broke into wood later to offer as a service. And here the sages in the Mishnah and Tanis purposely make mention of these families, because we have a tradition, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's always important to mention the righteous, and it's a blessing. We give a blessing to the Tzadik. We mention what he did right, and it's also good for us to remember how people had the fortitude to overcome. And it's important to learn these stories and to tell your children these stories. Children have to know that throughout our history we had to contend with governments that forbade performance of mitzvot, and we always found our ways to circumvent and continue our performance of mitzvot. Yes?
Do